Amen. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. He's worthy of our praises from the rising of the sun even to the going down of the same. God bless you, praise team. Please, you can be seated. Welcome you to this session of the service in Jesus' name. Want to go to the mercy, and I want us to pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you once more for this opportunity, O Lord, to deliver your word to my brothers, my sisters, those who will hear me. It's my prayer, O God, that this word will be transformative in our lives in the name of Jesus. It's my prayer, Lord, I will speak your counsel alone and not my own counsel, but your word in the name of Jesus. My prayer that you confirm your word with signs and wonders in the hearts of the people, physically, spiritually, in all areas of life, O God, that at the end we have cause to give you praise and glory. And saturate this place with the precious blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk today about believers' authority. Believers' authority. What is authority? Authority is delegated power. What is power? The ability to do things. Different kinds of powers: political power, spiritual power, physical power, etc. But talking about Christians and the Word of God, we're talking about spiritual authority. Praise the Lord. The basis of our authority comes from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who loved us and gave himself for us on the cross of Calvary. He died for us by choice. Was a temptation. He faced a temptation in the Garden of Gethsemane. Was groaning and praying. I know what it's going to mean. I'm going to die a shameful death on the cross of Calvary. Lord, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass over me. He groaned and groaned for hours. Eventually, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Amen. It's on that cross of Calvary that Jesus Christ gave us victory over the devil, the enemy of God, and the enemy of Christians. Sometimes we look at physical enemies as the real people to address, whereas there are spiritual powers behind them. If you have a human enemy, behind that person is the devil who talks to that person in the mind. Do this to hurt him. Do this to hurt her. You don't know. It's unseen. This, we are talking about the supernatural. There's a real devil that's anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-Christian. He doesn't want anything about Jesus to be mentioned. Doesn't want anything about God to be mentioned or the word of God. We're talking about that devil. God did not create a devil. A man of God said that, look, God created Lucifer, a beautiful, handsome angel who guarded the throne, who was good in music, and colorful archangel. But somehow he fell. It's when he fell and he tempted man, a man fell, that's when the authority that God gave to man in Genesis 1:26 was transferred to the devil. But thank God, in Christ Jesus, we have restored, we have that authority restored to us. Amen. Because if you go back to Genesis, when God gave Adam that authority, let's read it. Genesis 1:26, you see that man was not limited at all. had power to do anything he wanted to do. All the animals, he named them. God did not come and give names to the animals he created. Adam was the one. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the earth, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God gave man, Adam, dominion over all creatures. Today we are afraid of some creatures, but Adam had dominion. Noah had dominion. He could bring all kinds of animals into the ark, not afraid that he'll be killed. That dominion, where is it? It was lost because of sin, but somehow, the cross of Calvary, that dominion has been restored to the believer. So that's why I say believer's authority. It's believers that have this authority. Unbelievers don't have any authority. We'll see from the scriptures where some unbelievers, they wanted to use the name of Jesus. And what happened? So authority is delegated power. We don't have power on our own. But the power that Jesus has given us, the form of the Holy Spirit, that's the power that we really have. And the right or authority to evoke that power into any situation and circumstance that confront us is what we're talking about. Authority of the believer. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, let's read it. What the Bible says about power. God gave us power. Every one of you have power. I want you to say, I have power. I have power. I don't mean physical power, but I mean spiritual power. And that's the power of the Holy Ghost. Every believer, the list of believers, if you gave your life to Christ yesterday, you have that power already. Holy Spirit's in you. Just that the fullness comes when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost. But that spirit is already in you because that spirit convicts you of sin and makes you to repent and say yes to Jesus. Praise the Lord. So Acts chapter 1 verse 8, that's the power that we have, that we boast of. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus gave us that power of the Holy Ghost. You have the fullness of power. You can ask for the fullness in baptism. It's free gift. Just like salvation is free, Holy Ghost is free. Ask God. But you have to really thirst and hunger. And then you shall be filled. Amen? Because that is source of our authority. In Romans 8, verse 11, this is what the Bible says. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Amen. Say, if. Do you have the Holy Ghost? Yes, you have. If that's the same Spirit by which Jesus Christ got up from the grave, got up from the dead, he was raised to life by the Spirit, by the power of the Holy Ghost. If that same Holy Ghost is dwelling in you, that Holy Ghost shall quicken your mortal body. If you are sick, that Holy Ghost can heal you. Amen. Yes. And that same Holy Ghost we're talking about, that is the source of our power. It's very important to know that. It's not any other power. We are not talking about political power here. But let me illustrate this kind of authority we are talking about. Oftentimes, the traffic light, we have this traffic sign, they tell us to stop or go. But there are cases when, due to malfunction, you see the cops, the policemen, they are right there to control traffic because the electronic one is faulty. So when they make a sign like this, what does it mean? Stop, that's red. Stop. Now, you will stop. If you are a senator, you are a mayor, whosoever you are, you're a governor, you stop. Even the president will stop. Amen? That's what I've come to observe here. There's no discrimination. So, oh, you have low rank. No, everybody must obey the law. And that's the law. Here is somebody representing the government. It's just a tiny small boy or man or young lady. Doesn't have even to talk. Just raise up and that means talk. And you have to obey. What is she exercising or he exercising? Authority. She may not have physical power to stop anybody or even stop a moving vehicle, but she had that authority. The government backs him or her up. And that is why all traffic must stop. You say go, you go. That is called authority. Jesus Christ encountered a man, the centurion in the Bible. That man, you know, his servant was sick. He came to Jesus. Please come and heal my son. Jesus Christ said, no, the man didn't even say, look, my servant is healed. And Jesus said, okay, let me come to your house. Let me come to your house. He said, no, it's not necessary. Me, I'm a centurion. I'm a man of authority. If I tell my truth, come, they come. If I say go. They obey orders, 100%. No argument. And I know you are a man of authority too. Whatever you say here, there's no distance. There's no distance, and spirits will obey you. Therefore, I'm not worried I should come to my house. Just say the word, and my servant shall be healed. Amen. That's faith in action. So the centurion has illustrated to us here what authority is. That Jesus Christ doesn't need to go physically to his house, but just say a word. We as children of God, we have that same authority today. Because what belongs to Jesus belongs to us. Amen? So, that is delegated to us. Backed up with the powers of heaven. I want us to read Luke 10, verse 19. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. This is what it says. Jesus addressing disciples, the apostles, and in fact, by extension, all believers. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. This is God's word. Amen. If only we believe this word, if only we act it out, then we'll just be victorious in every situation and circumstances in life. The enemy, the devil, has been defeated. When Christ said, it is finished, he had finished his job. So that is why we are regarded as more than conquerors. Jesus Christ conquered the devil. Gave you a technical knockout. We did not fight any battle. But we have it imputed unto us, this victory. Guaranteed victory. That if only we use the name of Jesus, then this victory is ours. Amen. That's what we're talking about. We don't have that power. None of us can stand the devil on our own personal right. But because of who lives in us, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Jesus Christ in me. Jesus Christ in you. That's what made the difference. So if I'm to stand on my own power, Satan will swallow me up. But thank God, I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me. And that's the secret of my victory. That's why we can boast. That's why we can cast out devils in accordance with our scriptures. We can rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus. Amen? At the new birth, all of us, we have this power conferred on us. Like I said, we are going to read another scriptures. Ephesians chapter 1, 20 to 22 tells us graphically how Jesus Christ gave us victory, and this victory is transferred to us believers. Ephesians chapter 1, 20 to 22. That which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead as the Father and set him, Jesus, at his own right hand. Right hand, that's position of power and authority. In heavenly places. Amen. Far above all principality and all power and all might and all dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Verse 22. And have put all things under his feet, that Jesus, remember, is the head of the church. The church is the body of Christ. So when we're talking about the feet, we're talking about the church too. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Amen. That's what the Father did. Also in Philippians 2, 9 to 11, we read it. What made Jesus to have that, all that power? What led to it? Philippians 2, 9 to 11. Wherefore, God also had highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him a name which is above every name, that is, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things underneath the earth. Amen. That's so comprehensive. From this scripture we have read, we have all power. Because we have Jesus. Because you have Jesus, you have all power. This power that Jesus used to cast out devils and raise the dead, we have that power. But if we are afraid to exercise that power, we will not see results. That's where the problem lies. It's not as if you don't have the power already. You have the Holy Ghost. Because oftentimes we say, Lord, give me power. Lord, give me. But he has already given you Holy Ghost. What else do you need to be a success and victorious person in this life? You have all power. Because all power be given to Jesus. And Jesus Christ has transferred that power to us. Or you doubt it. You say, oh, that's for Jesus. That's Jesus. Okay, let's read on. You'll find very soon that this same power has been transferred to us. Amen? Ephesians chapter 2, 4 to 5. Ephesians chapter 2, 4 to 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Praise the Lord. Verse 6. And had raised us up together. And had raised us up together and made us, you and me. Put your name there. And made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where you are. That's your position. Because we read in Ephesians chapter 1 that Jesus Christ reigns above all power, above all principalities, above every name, any dominion, all kinds of power and influences, and seated in heavenly places. We say, oh, that's for the Savior. But here, this pertains to you and me. Had given us, we believers, he had made us to sit together with him in heavenly places, spiritually. So where are you seated? In heavenly places. Amen. With Christ Jesus. And at the name of Jesus, you can invoke the power of the Almighty God over situations and circumstances. That's what we're talking about. In Ephesians 6 verse 12, that's another scripture. We're talking about delegated power, believers' authority. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, fellow human beings, having blood and flesh like me. Those are not the people. And by the way, if you have any enemy, human enemy, please discharge them. Discharge them, release them, and you yourself will be free. I just say that in passing. Very important. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You look at fellow neighbors, say, that's my enemy. Doesn't want my progress. You forgotten the real enemy behind. The enemy Satan. And that it can only be addressed spiritually. And we focus on the human elements. But it's not supposed to be so. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So this world is full of wickedness, full of darkness, full of evil activities. Why? Because Satan is the god of this world. Don't misquote scripture. You say, oh, Jesus Christ owns everything. He's in control of everything. He's in control of the church, the body of Christ. He's in control of all power. He has all power. But he will not enforce his power unless through us. That's why he delegated the power and authority to us. So that we'll act in his stead, in his place, in his absence. He's not here physically, but we are representing him. That's why we are God's ambassadors, to enforce Satan's defeat on this earth. Not to defeat Satan, to enforce what God has already done. It is a finished work. As is to say the word, and the results will show that indeed we are more than conquerors. Amen. So in this world, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. These are powers, spiritual powers. Powers, different powers, principalities, rulers of the darkness, all kinds of evil that happen in this world. Spiritual wickedness in high places, controlled by the devil. In 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4, we're told that Satan is the god of this world, small letter G. Read it. It is God of this world. The one controlling the world system. That's why the Bible says we should not conform to this world. We should not love this world. Meaning the evil system of this world. Because there's somebody controlling. It's not time for him to be condemned to a lake of fire yet. But it's acting. And he cannot have influence over you except you give him a place. Bible says we should resist the devil, he will flee from us. Draw near to God, and God will draw near unto you. So we have got the power. Don't limit yourself. And don't limit God Almighty who has given you the power. Just believe what God has said about you, and that's it. God says, I have victory. I have dominion over forces of darkness, over demonic agents. I have victory. It's not questionable. It's for me to enforce it. That's what God expects of us. Amen. In Mark chapter 16, let's also read this delegated power. Mark 16, 16 to 17. You see what God has invested in us. Mark 16, 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. If you are believing Jesus, you need to get water baptized. Just ask the pastor, I want to be baptized. I've given my life to Christ. You don't have to wait for donkey years or months before you get baptized. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name. Whose name? Jesus' name. No other name. Not my name. It's not the name of John or James. No. In my name. This sign shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. What are devils? There is a devil and there are devils. Devils are demons. In King James, used interchangeably. So when you hear devils, you are talking about demons. These are demonic agents, lesser power than the devil himself. He said, in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Verse 18. Praise the Lord. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, mistakenly, not deliberately, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Ours is to lay the hands. Who recovers? Jesus. He's the healer. So, if somebody is not healed, not so much of your business, because you have done your part. Lay hands upon the sick. But most times we are afraid. Suppose this person does not get well. As if by my own power, I'm going to heal somebody. Never so. There was a time that somebody was healed, a cripple. He was begging at the gate called Beautiful. In Acts chapter 3, James and John, I think the apostles, they came across the man. And he was asking for alms, bread, asking for money. But what did the apostle say? Let's read it, Acts chapter 3. Let's see how the name of Jesus was used. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Verse 5. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive from them. Verse 6. And Peter said, silver and gold I have none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Amen. Verse 7. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And leaping, stood up and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Amen. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Look, these are the apostles. What had happened to them that they have just received the Holy Ghost? And they were going to the temple to pray. And they had this challenge. So they invoked that name, Jesus, and this man sprang up to his life, to his feet. He was healed. There was a lot of commotion that happened later. People were wondering, are these ordinary human beings? Are these gods? You know, what has happened is terrible. This man had been lame all his youth, and now this man. But Peter addressed them, look, it's not by our own power. You are looking on us, you are gazing at us as if by our own power we have done this thing. No, it's not so. It's in the name of Jesus. Every one of us, we can call upon that name, Jesus. Thank God for the liberty. Thank God for the privilege to be able to use that name. Amen. So we talk about Holy Ghost power, Holy Ghost power. How do we bring that Holy Ghost power into a situation? By praying, by commanding in the name of Jesus Christ for a change to take place, and it happens. Amen? And all the people saw him walking, praising God. Somebody who was crippled. God can do that through me and through you. But if we are afraid to pray, we will not have the victory. They will keep on asking power. Lord, give us power. Give us power. The one he has given us, we have not used it, but we are asking for more power. That's often the irony of the situation. Just as we are, just as you are in your neighborhood, in your family, if there's a demonic activity, you can stop it. You can cast out demons, just as you are. You don't have to call any pastor, just as you are. Nevertheless, if you find the challenge is above you, call a pastor. Amen. Praise God. Kenneth Hagin is going to be with the Lord now, but see, a renowned person on faith, teaching of faith. Kenneth Hagin Sr. He once had an experience. He was having a conversation with the Lord. So Jesus Christ can appear to his servants. So as he was having this conversation, an ugly demon just came in between. Thank God. The Lord is here. The Lord is here. Kept silent. Was looking. 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 But later on, it occurred to him that Jesus Christ has given us power and authority. So, he just spoke to the demon. And you know what? He fled. Later on, the Lord spoke to him about that. He said, you know what? If you had not cast out that demon, I wouldn't have done anything. Absolutely nothing. Why? Because I've delegated my power to you. Amen? You see how important it is for us to enforce Satan's defeat and affect situations. You don't have to, you know, just use that name. That name has been given to us for victory. Praise the Lord. The same Kenneth Hagin in 1933. He was bedridden. He was himself a cripple. And some religious people had come to pray for him. Oh, that you go and rest in peace, you know. In fact, because of the situation, he had not just been crippled, other kind of diseases, that this man was going. They didn't believe that he could live anymore. This young guy. Well, a young guy, that a youth. So, he gave him up. Everybody gave him up. But himself, the mother had given him a Bible, and he read Mark 11, 23 and 24 to 25. Let's read it to see what he read in 1933 and gave him victory. He said, if this, is it not God who wrote this? If this is true, if it's God who said this, then I can even do self-deliverance. Let's read it. Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, mountain of problems and difficulties, and circumstances, situations, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Don't doubt. Don't be afraid. Don't doubt. But shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and then ye shall have them. Amen. You believe first, then you have it. You believe first before you see. People of the world say, you see before you believe. But word of God say, you believe, then you will see. Amen. So this is the scripture he read, and he challenged him. If this is the word of God, if God meant what he said here, then my desire is to be well now. My desire to get out of this cripple's condition, this wheelchair, that's my desire. So he believed God. He demanded that this work come to pass in his life. He just prayed on his own. No pastor there, no mother there. And he staggered up. This is what God says. He got up from the wheelchair, got up from the bed, and lo, he was staggering and walking like that man who was healed in Acts chapter 3. Walking and leaping, praising God. That's how he regained his strength, his vitality, and started to walk on feet once again. Nobody came. Everybody had given up on him. That is faith in action, based on the word of God. And he enforced Satan's defeat right there, and he was healed. Amen. This same Kenneth Hagin, while he was in that condition, while he was still in the wheelchair, somebody took him out. It's just like when you are in a place where you are receiving healing, like all these nursing homes and all that. Say, let me go and experience fresh air. So they wheeled him out to one square in Syria at that time. And he started to see, nature, started to see the environment again, breathing fresh air and all. And then Satan whispered to him, this is the last time you will ever see this square. He didn't stop there. He returned to Satan. No, I will come to this place again on my feet. Amen. He prophesied to himself. 9 months later, he was healed. And he went to that same spot and he remembered that encounter. Satan comes, he whispers. He may not speak to you through human being, but he can whisper. Just as God speaks to you, Satan also whispers some ideas into your mind. That's why the mind is the battlefield. That's why you should guide your heart and mind with all wisdom, because out of it are the issues of life. Amen? So that's where Satan actually brings in temptation and all. So we should learn that trick and overcome him, even at that stage. Somebody was traveling one day. I heard this story while I was in Nigeria. And they were traveling in a bus. A voice just told him, this vehicle will have an accident. This vehicle will have an accident. He did nothing. This vehicle will have an accident? Okay, let's watch and see. And actually, it happened later. The vehicle had an accident. He was spared, though. But if you were the one, if I were the one, what would I need to do? You cancel it, that voice. You return it. Return to sender. Amen. This vehicle will not have accident in Jesus' name. Period. Not long prayer. You are just reversing what the enemy had planned. If that brother had prayed, that accident would not have taken place. But that's how many prophecies come our way. You know, something bad will happen to Phoenix, for example, then we keep mute, waiting for it to happen. That shouldn't be the attitude. There are some conditional prophecies that can be changed by prayer. Amen? So in such cases, you pray to change situations in your favor. If you have a nightmare, you have a dream, and it was a nightmare, and you are now afraid, what do? You wait until the next service. So I will tell my pastor when I get to church. Right there and then, it's when you should handle the situation. If it's a favorable dream, pray. Accept it. I say, Lord, let it come to pass. If it's unfavorable to you, makes you afraid, you rebuke the enemy. Cancel the circumstance. If you see yourself dead, say, I shall not die, but I shall live and declare the words of the living God. Psalm 118, verse 17. Just give the devil the word of God. That's how Jesus Christ overcame, through the word of God. I shall not die, but live and declare the words of the living God. Amen. So if you are afraid because you are sick and you think, oh, I will die in this situation. In fact, doctor has said, I will die. I shall not die, but live and declare the words of the living God. Amen. If you believe you are a person, a man, a woman of purpose, then the purpose why God created you must be fulfilled. And once it's not time, you can't go yet. Tell Satan, you can't go yet. Just confess the word of God and Satan will flee in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So if you are in a bus or in a car and a voice is telling you you are going to have an accident, it is there and then Satan, no. Jesus is in me. Jesus is the captain of this ship. We are not going to have any accident in Jesus' name. Just reverse it. Don't wait until I get home, until this time, until I go and fast and pray. Right there and then, invoke the word of God to the situation. Amen? We have power to change situations and circumstances so long as they are conditional, because they are unconditional prophecies. That Jesus Christ will come again is unconditional. Whether you like it or not, whether Satan likes it or not, Jesus Christ will come again. Amen? Yes, but there are certain prophecies that may be given to us. Look, most often they are conditional. If my people who are called by my name, you know, shall repent, turn away from their wicked ways and call upon the Lord shall effect positive change. That's what we are called to do in difficult situations. We pray, we humble ourselves and pray and ask for a change. Like Nigeria, we don't give up Nigeria. We don't give up USA until God's will be done. Amen. Don't give up until you see what you desire come to pass. In Matthew 18, verse 18, power of agreement. In the family setting, husband and wife can agree over any matter. Know if you have a sense demonic interference in your family, pray. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Amen. That's Matthew 18, 18. In the family setting, you can invoke that scripture and pray over situations. Satan is bringing an ugly report, maybe from the medical doctor. You have gone to do some tests and say, oh, you are positive to this thing, and this thing will kill you. They are just prophesying on their own. That's the word of man. Reject it. I've read of testimony of men of God or women of God who took up the word of God and said, no, that's not my report. Me? No, that's not me. I have victory. I can't have this sickness. I can't have this disease. I can't have this COVID-19. Confess it. Do what you need to do. Confess the word of God by faith. Amen? Yes, and it shall come to pass. Whatever you desire will come to pass. But you have to enforce Satan's defeat. You have to test Satan that is defeated already. You are not the one going to battle Satan, to overcome Satan. It's already done. The finished work of Christ. Calvary. Amen. Yes. So whatever confronts you as an individual, Satan is whispering to you, this your marriage will not last. And you believe it, and you keep silent, return it to sender. This marriage will last in Jesus' name. Amen. A wise woman builded her home. She does not leave it to chance. The weakest child of God, according to Kenneth Hagin, says, the weakest child of God, say, it's so weak in faith. No, it's not strong now. The weakest child of God has the legal right to use the name of Jesus and get results. Everybody who is a believer, we have the right. Amen. What are the benefits of using our authority? We can live victorious life on this earth. Temptations will come and we overcome each of them. Amen. We can claim our healing. We can claim God's promises by invoking the authority in the name of Jesus. We enforce Satan's defeat on the cross of Calvary. Continuously, we can set the captives free Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. Let's read it. We have been given that power, not just only for ourselves, but also for the benefit of other people. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Put your name there. Because the Lord had anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has set me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound. Amen. That's what God has done. You say, oh, but Jesus Christ claimed that scripture. As he is, so are we in this world. Amen. As Jesus was, the power he had, the fullness of power he had by the Holy Ghost, he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. And so we too should get baptized. And when we have that fullness, we can do what Jesus Christ did. Not in our name, but in his name and by his power. We are his representative. We are his ambassadors. We are representing him. So we use the name of Jesus to effect positive changes in all situations and circumstances. Amen. However, I want to say that, say, oh, the Lord has given us all power. But no, there are some areas you may not, you should not misuse or misconstrue the power that you have. For example, there are some Christians, they are specialists in destroying demons. Destroying demons, killing demons. Have you heard expression like that? When they are praying, you cannot kill any demon. Jesus Christ did not kill any demon. He gave up power to cast out demons, not to kill them. Praise the Lord. Demons are bodiless spirit and they seek whom to influence and all that. Remember in case of the swine, you know, head of swine, when Jesus Christ wanted to cast out some demons, the spirit they were begging, please, please, this is our home. Don't cast us out. Don't do that. But eventually, he saw a head, swine, and he cast the demons out. And those demons, they entered the swine and they perished because he valued human life more than swine. Praise the Lord. They want to always, no, they are bodiless spirits, but they want host. They want human hosts to influence and all that. That's why we cast them out. And if a demon is cast out of your life or demons, please, by all means, maintain a holy life. Otherwise, these same demons can come back in the reinforced form. Sevenfold anointing. They will come back. I think Matthew 12, verse 43, thereabout. No? This demon will come back. If you don't clean your house, if you are not living a holy life, but you have been delivered, the demons will come. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and finding none. Verse 44. To conclude the story. Okay, you can read it on your own. Matthew 12, 43, 44. So, if you are delivered, just maintain a holy lifestyle and begin to praise God. Trust God. If not, the same demons can come back again. Say, oh, there's vacancy. That place is vacant. So let's go. Serving food. And the latter end will be worse than the former. So it's not also necessary to pray for the sick when you don't tell them about Jesus. Get them to know Jesus. They have Jesus. They have victory. Remember Kenny Hagin, self-deliverance. So, if somebody is delivered from sickness, that person can have even greater sickness if the person does not believe in Jesus Christ. So, it's our responsibility to also preach the gospel, make sure that they have Jesus, because nature does not allow vacuum. We cannot kill the devil either, even the father of all, Satan. I kill the devil. Today we are going to destroy the devil. We are going to trap. We are going to do this with the devil. Don't just speak religiously. Speak the word of God. A time is coming during the millennium, at the onset of the millennium, Satan will be bound. He will be chained and cast into the bottomless pit. If you are saying, Satan, I cast you into the bottomless pit right now, you are just speaking your words and not the words of God. There's a specific time when we'll be cast into the bottomless pit. Not now. You can cast out devil. You can bind. You can lose. But not to cast Satan even to hell now. Because out of religiosity, you see, we are going to cast Satan into hell so that you not disturb anybody anymore. You are just talking your words, not the word of God. There's a set time for that. But meanwhile, while we are living, this time, we have authority to cast out devils. Amen? Yes. To lay hands upon the sick and recover. We have authority to preach and set the captive free through the word of God. Because in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, said the preaching of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. Preaching of the gospel. We have power to do that. We are part to exercise dominion and authority over every demonic influence you come across, whether in your job, whether in your marriage, whether in your academics, whatsoever. Anything having the semblance of demonic activity, reject. Amen. Our weapons, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the word of God. Amen. Faith with action is believing, and faith without words is dead. The just shall live by faith. For us to exercise believers' authority, we must have faith in God. We must exercise faith. Just believing what God has said. That's it. Nothing more. Having nothing to do with your intellect, your wealth, or anything. Nothing more. You have Jesus. Victory is sure. Amen? Praise the Lord. So today we have found out that we have authority over Satan and all his agents, over principalities and powers. We have also found out that it's left for us to invoke that authority. If we do nothing, heaven will do nothing. If we bind on earth, heaven will bind it. If we lose something on earth, heaven will lose it. So God is expecting you and I to represent him effectively. Wherever we may be in your sphere of influence, people you come across, preach the gospel to them. And if there's any demonic activity, call upon the name of Jesus and send out that spirit. Now I told you, I'm rounding up with this, in the book of Acts, it was an experience. There was a lady, a slave girl, who had a spirit of divination. And so when the apostles came to that neighborhood to preach, they said, these are men of the Most High God. That's what she said. True or false? True. Very true. 100% true. She did this many days. The apostle didn't even realize on time. Did it many days. After many days, it occurred to Apostle Paul. Let's read it. We are rounding up with that. Let's read it. See what happened there. After many days, found that this spirit should be cast out. And so they addressed that spirit and cast out that spirit from the girl, the spirit of divination. And she became normal. Amen. So it's left for us to enforce Satan's defeat in situations and circumstances. Right now, I want to remind you, if you are here, you have not fully surrendered your life to Jesus, please do so. Because in that situation, I told you, the case of the seven sons of Sceva, they saw the apostles cast out demons. And so, when there was a case, somebody had demonic attack, they said, yes, we too, we can cast out this devil because that name, Jesus. They said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preached, get out. Because the name of Jesus was used, the demons came out. But because they are bodiless spirits, they seek who to go to. They went into these same people who cast them out, the seven sons of Sceva. So they were taken away because they didn't have salvation. They were not saved. But they just think, oh, there's a common thread. Each time somebody delivers, they use that name, Jesus. Each time, any day, Jesus. Okay, let's use that name of Jesus too. In the name of Jesus Christ, whom Paul preached, come out. Then the demon said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? So you must have the authority to cast out demons. If you are born again, you have the authority. If you are not born again, you don't have the authority. So it's important that you be born again. If you have not received Christ, please just bow your head sincerely and ask Jesus to come into your heart. I'm not talking about religion, going to church. Going to churchianity is different from Christianity. It's different from a personal relationship with Jesus. You must have victory over the works of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, all the like. So ask Jesus to come into your life. Those who are watching me, listening to me, please surrender your heart to Jesus. He loves you dearly, just as you are. Realize that you are a sinner and that you cannot help yourself, and only Jesus can save you. Do that sincerely. Believe that Jesus Christ died for you. He was buried for you. He rose up again for your justification, and he's coming back again. Believe with all your heart, and all your sins shall be forgiven in Jesus' name. If you have any demonic challenge, my answer to you, the takeaway you take away from this sermon is that you yourself, you can handle the situation with that name, Jesus. That's the great challenge I'm throwing before you. Pastor doesn't have to come. It's not a necessity. It must be pastor. All children of God are anointed to deliver the sick. There may be different anointings and all that, but you have forced Satan's defeat in your own life and family, and it shall be well with you in Jesus' name. God bless you.